Hi guys, this is Maria and Manos, and you're watching On the Couch with M&M.
The show to help you build fun and profitable businesses. Hi guys, and welcome back to another edition of On the Couch with M&M. Today we have our very good friend and special guest, Rick Rushton, from Insight Personal Development, high-performance coach, real estate mentor, sportsman's coach, and now published author with The Power of Connection. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, good to have you.
Always a pleasure to
and
come here.
And can I just say something to the guys? Because as soon as it started taping, we were sort of giggling and I'm doing this and you started, so it's because it's take two.
There we go. But rehearsals went really well.
I just wanted to put that in there. So good to have you back.
Thank you, sweet. Appreciate
Congratulations it. On the book.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been really well received. Well, we've been really blessed and a lot of good support there, and been a little bit humbled to be really honest with how many people have sort of gone out there and got it, and it's away now. It's been going
and it's everywhere. It's in all the airports. It keeps popping up on Facebook everywhere. Different people take photos. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think there's a restraining order on me from a few people saying stop promoting it, but you got to be a better promoter of what you do than a doer.
That's really true.
And I think that's a lesson for everyone, isn't it? Yeah. At the end of the day, that's what we're at there. From a marketing perspective, we need to put our putting our face out there to make sure that we're connecting with our audience.
Yeah, and I think the reason the book was written was realistically around that fact that there's no successful hermits. We all need other people to get success. And as you know, we've all gone to a lot of conferences, and some of our best friends are the best coaches and trainers throughout Australasia. And I've been really fortunate to go global and have a look at who's out there and making it happen. I'm yet to find a successful hermit who said this is how you make life a success being on your own. So it's all about connections, and we've connected, you know, better part of nearly a decade now, and I've benefited from
it. Quick.
We'd like to think we've had a value exchange. 100%. So that's really the premise of the book. It's the ability to connect with others and get ultimately what we want out of life, which is professional, personal, holistic success. So that's the book.
And sometimes it's not the successful people out there, because I've started to read your book. So I'm like, you know, not even halfway through it.
Sure.
But you've got quite a few people that you've met throughout your life. Some of them really, really, you know, successful. But in there, you're thanking your godmother as one of your mentors, Judy.
Yep.
And she was at your opening as well.
She was. Yeah.
So tell me, and obviously we get our inspirations from everyone. It's not just, you know, the successful people out there, or we'll consider successful people in that industry.
Sure.
What was the difference that she made in your
life? I think, you know, I'm named after her husband, who was tragically killed in a car accident what's that, 38 years ago now. And so I just watched her not let that event define her life. She actually made that the catalyst to making sure that she raised three amazing daughters. Yeah. She did it all with no help from anyone, worked two jobs sometimes. I would never have known, because every time I spent with her was during school holidays, and she made sure that she was there for them. And so, you know, she used to give her daughters great advice, which is not listen to what people are saying to you, watch what they do, because watch what they do, because who they are is far more important than what they say they are.
Yeah.
So I always learned that lesson from her, and she was just a very strong, independent, way before I knew Oprah or Ellen or any of these power women, she was the most powerful lady I'd ever seen in my life. And I watched her with living example of that.
Yeah.
And so she was very clear in making sure that I knew the most important thing in life was to know the most important thing. And for her, that was family. And so she drilled that into me. So,
perfectly
you know, she's my spiritual mother, as you would have heard me say at my book launch. Yeah. And so I love it. And I, even as I start talking to her about her now, I start welling up a little bit, because she's the most amazing female next to my wife that I've met in my life. So she's amazing.
That's awesome.
So there's a couple of great, hundreds of great tips in the book. And I've read it a couple of times and so forth. But and the premise of the book is really all success is based on your ability to connect.
Sure. Yeah.
And people's interpretation of connection with people. And we're talking to business owners. So I think if we can talk about business owners connecting with their people, what's the best way for them to be connecting with their people? And you've got some great strategies.
Sure. Well, I think the first one is, you know, for me to connect with my team, I had to tune into who they were before I broadcasted what I wanted from them. So if you can get an understanding of who your team are and what they like and what they, and you guys do it very, very well, and what they value. value. If you can tap into their big why, you can help them to sort of, you know, keep them on track to that and reward them to it. So I was a very big one on not necessarily treating my best income producer as the only person I wanted to give all my time to.
Yeah.
I think a lot of leaders, what we tend to do is we go, we've got the team members we love, we've got the team members who challenge us a little bit. So when the team member who challenges us said, hey, have you got a minute, mate? It's like, I don't really, if you come back in an hour or two, I might. My view was, if I treated that team member in the same headspace as I would the one who's my number one producer,
yeah.
A funny thing happened. They actually tuned into that very well, and they thought, he's actually treating me like the person he wants me to become. So they almost felt compelled to become it. So I think the first strategy that I talk about in the book about leading others is to tune into who they are first before you broadcast what you want from them. And if you can understand what frequency they're on or what channel they're surfing, if you can plug into that channel, you can probably get them to do what you want them to do, which is to be the very best they can be.
Or you can help them, guide them. And they listen to you better if you are on the same channel. As you said, we had the guys from Agent Dynamics doing a session
Neil Williams and Julie Davis.
Quarterly awards yesterday, and it was all about that, tuning into your clients, your vendors, your landlords, your team, so it's so important, isn't it?
And it's
speaking their language.
Tuning in before you broadcast is, I mean, we heard it from you so many times, and it's so relevant in everything that we do. So that's just amazing. Tell me about the word listen. What's so special about the word listen?
And it's kind of something that was shared to me, by my mentor, the late great Jim Rohn, who said, the words listen and silent have the exact same letters.
Yeah, backwards.
And most real estate agents believe that listening is just waiting for your turn to talk again, because I've learnt this great script from a Lee Woodward or a Josh Fegan, or I've learnt this great script.
And they're thinking
so
in the back of their mind.
So I'm waiting to use the script, and rather than to actually just listen to what is Manos and Maria trying to achieve with this move, how can you help them best achieve it? And if you're listening actively, you'll take notes on that in your mental notes and on your physical notes and help them get to a better place. Because the reality is, every consumer is just looking to move to a better place, whether they're looking to, buy, sell, lease, or invest. They're just looking to move to a better place. And they want someone to understand what their hopes and dreams and aspirations are. And our job has to shift from being a facilitator of that to a listener to that. And if we can listen to what they're actually trying to achieve,
you can facilitate
that. Now we can put the process in play, because process precedes the result. And it's very hard to put a process in play if we think, we just heard that they want to get top rent, but we haven't actually heard about they want the quality tenant. Yeah. So if we've got that right and we deliver maybe an application that's 11 out of 10, but they don't want to pay the rent that's being asked, the landlord goes, that's okay. But if we're just hearing we've got to get a top rent, we're in a bit
of
trouble. So we've got to be very careful, as I think real estate leaders and operators, to make sure that the people we're trying to connect with, we actually get an understanding about who they are. If everyone's the same, it's easy to communicate with you guys because we're similar. Yeah. We love similar things.
Yeah.
What do you do with someone who lights up a room the minute they leave it? Very negative, very very withdrawn, very... So you have to sort of get...
I had to actually think about that twice. Okay.
There's some people out here who are watching this who have landlords who are just miserable, don't want to pay for a tap to be replaced. How do you connect with that person? So what the book's designed to do is to help you connect at all levels. If everyone was the same, there'd be one movie theater, there'd be one TV station, there'd be one radio station, but there's a plethora of different broadcasts.
How because boring people, would life be?
Exactly. So my best days are the days where I connect with people who I know who are the exact polar opposites to me.
Yeah.
The people who, you arrive in their space and they just don't pay you any attention, and then they finally look at you and go, can I help you? And in your head, you're going, I don't think you can.
Not with that attitude.
But let's just see if we can adjust you just a little bit.
Not with that attitude.
Because, for me, energy is everything. So if you've got energy and you've got an observant sort of look space around you.
Oh, you've dedicated a whole chapter to energy. Yeah. So it's
the key thing for me. I'm probably jumping ahead of
No, this is gold. I mean, the golden nuggets, the value bombs that you obviously drop throughout whenever we get together, even over lunch.
I reckon
dinner,
we could do three episodes.
Without a doubt. And that's why the team love you so much.
I wanted to ask you about a personal one that you've got in there.
Sure.
So you've got the, the first argument or the first, that you had with Gay, and you talk about that. But what really interests me is that you said that the only reason why that happened, and I mean, people that are going to read the book, they're going to find out about the story, is because you guys were just brought up differently. Sure. You know, in your family, you had to stay in the room until that argument was finished and you battled it out, even if you had to fist fight or whatever you did until it was resolved.
Sure.
Was you know, Gay had a different upbringing in her family. They did things differently.
Sure, yeah.
And it's just understanding that, obviously, it helped you. I mean, you're still together, so obviously you've worked it out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she leaves me, I'm going with her, so Gay. It's like, yeah, but no, I think...
So talk to us about that, obviously, because, yeah, you know, we look at people and we say, okay, well, he is the way he is, or she is the way she is because of, you know, that's their character.
Yeah.
Upbringing's got a lot to do with it. Of course. You know, how do you tap into that?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about...
Especially in different cultures.
Yeah.
I mean, in an office, you've got, you know, so many different people that you're working with, different cultures, understanding all of that.
Yeah. I think what it is, a bit of that nature, nurture, it's environment, product of, student of, all the stuff that we've been taught over the journey. But for me, it was very, very simple. I just think we've got communication rules that have been probably...
That's what I want you to talk about, the rules. Yeah.
Probably embedded in
the next question.
There you go.
So
relationships are easier when you understand the rules. Of engagement.
Yeah. So, I've got friends from multicultural backgrounds and I've got to spend time in their sort of space. So I've had a lot of fun with them watching how they communicate and connect as a family. And I noticed that it was different to my family. So on face value, everyone looks at Gay and I and think you're so similar. You're both one of five kids, second youngest. Yeah. I've got a brother and three sisters. Gay had a sister and three brothers.
Yeah.
Both our fathers were almost identical with their sort of natural talent here, but probably took a menial job there to pay for, you know, keeping a roof, feeding, clothing, looking after a family. On face value, we looked almost identical, except for how each family communicated.
Yeah.
So if we were brother and sister and we had a dispute, we had to stay in the room and sort it out. And we could yell and we could get very physical, not hurting each other, but we could go nuts. And what are you saying? You're not listening to me. Bang, bang, bang. But once it was resolved and we walked out of this room, never mentioned again.
Mm.
In Gay's family, if someone raised their voice, they had to all leave the room till calmer heads prevailed. So when I wrote the book, I thought, if I'm going to be really honest here about communication, I can talk about the success.
I thought that was great. Mm. Yeah.
But most good books I've read are one chapter on success and 11 chapters on the struggle. So one of the struggles for me was to tune into this lady who I loved more than anything else.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, how could we're having a debate? You're walking out.
Why are you walking
out
away from me?
Exactly. Yeah. Just saying to me, you don't care about me. But that I had had hundreds of thousands of hours of programming as a young lad growing up in that environment to say, stay and sort it out. And that shows care for your brother and sister.
Mm.
She's walking out on me, and that's saying to me, you don't value me, and we're about to spend the rest of our lives together. We need to have this chat. Now, once I got that and understood that, wow, what else is a rule? Well, when you raise your voice to me, it's actually worse than maybe physically hitting me. I'm hearing, you know, you don't think it's a challenge, but you see every problem as a nail and every solution as a hammer, and you're away. And that was who I was. I was instant coffee wasn't quite fast enough for me. I was a 100 mile an hour man. She was much more reserved.
Yeah.
And so her belief was, if you really cared, you'd slow down, take the time. So what I realized was she had a different rule of communication than I did. And so all I do when I connect with people is I try and put them into a color program, which we'll probably go into shortly, and then I try and communicate in a way that I know they prefer.
Mm.
And people always say to me, how do you always get what you want in a situation? You know, I travel a lot, and I've just done a whole heap of road shows from sort of Sydney to Auckland to Wellington to Christchurch to Perth to all over the place. And on some of those, there was times where flights were cancelled.
Yeah.
We got challenges with weather in Wellington. Miraculously, I could seemingly get out when others were told no flights. And it was all because I could approach the person behind the desk in a way that I know they prefer to be spoken to and connected with. And typically, you know, I was landing in a domestic airport in Auckland. My international flight home was boarding in the next terminal. People on the same plane were told, you're not going to make it. Bags won't even get transported. I would just ask the question, what would have to happen for me to make that flight though? Oh, well, then you'd have to have
what a great question.
A, B, C, D put in play. What if I did A and B and you took care of C and D? Could we do this now? And miraculously, I made the flight. Three other people didn't. And it's all because of the ability to connect with someone in a way where it's like...
It's so asking the right questions.
It
as
is.
Well.
And before broadcasting, see, three other people went up and go, you're making me miss my connecting flight. The lady's going, sorry, oh, that was the weather. That wasn't me. Yeah. I went up and said...
I had nothing to do with it.
What would have to happen?
What a great question.
I went up and I said, first of all, The way you manage those people, well done to you. You've obviously been very well drilled in customer care and customer service, so well done.
Yeah.
What would have to happen? She said, well, I'd have to radio ahead, let them know that you're here. I'd have to find your bag. Okay, I've got the tag here. Could you? And she goes, okay, well, that would help. So I'm watching my bag come off the plane, because it was one of those ones where you walked across the tarmac. I'm watching my red bag get off the plane, and I'm seeing it put into a golf cart, raced across the terminal to the other side. And
I just called it in.
There's living proof. I mean, you can write a book, but ultimately, you know, the good thing about the book is it's not my theory on how you connect.
Are these on lost experiences?
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And for that's us, what I loved I mean, about
the,
it. Yeah,
and the benefit of us obviously knowing you is, as I was reading the page, each page I could hear your voice saying it, speaking to me. So it is unlike any other book I've read, because you're the author and I can hear you say it in your tonality, in your cheekiness as well. So
one of the funny ones is I've had a lady say to me, I said to my husband, I feel like I'm going to bed with Rick every night. And I went, maybe not the right thing to say.
I'll just read the rest of on the plane to Greece, not in bed.
But what an amazing question to be asking a team. So managing a team as a business owners, what will we have to do to make it happen?
So
that's empowering our team members to step up to the plate, whether it's in administration, whether it's in a sales negotiation, what will we have to do to make it happen?
Yeah, and so, you know, part of that is then they believe that you've shown care as their leader, and so they want to, most humans...
And you're asking for their input as well.
They want to participate in their own rescue, so they want to be a part of it. Yeah. And you guys build a really cool culture here, so it's almost a culture where they almost expect that they're going to be asked that question, so they want to
communicate. We love them.
But I think... You know, the why, the what, the how, you know, what's your big why are you getting up every day? How can I best help you with that? You know, how can I support you with that? Yeah. These are great leadership questions. And, you know, some people want to be left alone in the corner to do their job, i.e. the lady in the next room from us is tapping away on her computer right now.
Yeah.
She's very blue, very process-driven, knows what she's got to do. And if we bring her in here now, say, can we put you in front of the camera and talk to all these people? She's going to go, oh, no, that's not going to work for me. And, in fact, that will demotivate her. So, ultimately, we've got to find out what's the hot buttons for each of our people, how can we help them press it, and more importantly, how can we give them the gift of re-energizing themselves without waiting for our quarterly awards, which are great, but how can we give them that gift
every day.
How they bring in the energy. Two final things, the three-step coach process, talk to us through that, because that was invaluable. And I'm going to ask about page 109, 110, 111. We're going to make the audience read that, because that was invaluable, those pages, which I'll jog about. But let's talk about the three-step coach.
Okay, so the three-step coach, I was really fortunate growing up to play sport, and it was my happiest times growing up, and had a really good coach who followed a three-step process, which was, you know, he would check in. So the three-step process is, how do you think you're going today as a real estate lister, seller, property manager, administrator, call it whatever we want. How do you think you're going? Well, I think I'm going okay. If you think they're doing better than that, you've got to help them tune to the reality channel a little bit. So can I give you some feedback on about what I'm seeing? Yeah, I'd love to. Okay. You're saying okay. We think you're doing an outstanding job. How do you think we could make sure that you're aware that you're better than okay? Like, give us some feedback on how we could, oh, well, if you could actually just maybe slip me a note every now and then, or just tap me on the shoulder once a week or whatever. They give you the feedback about how it's working. So works really well with people who think they're not doing as well as they actually are doing. The challenge in real estate is that most people think they're doing sometimes better than what they're doing.
I was going to say that.
So how do you think you're going? Oh, I'm awesome. I'm loving people. I'm loving houses.
I'm doing 20 appraisals a week. Show me your diary. Only three.
I'm working hard. I'm loving people. I'm loving houses. You haven't worked with any yet. You know, all that old lines. But they go, I think I'm doing really, really well. Can I ask, how have you arrived at that thinking? Well, I'm really busy. Doing what? Well, I'm out doing this. Okay, we're paid for results, not time and effort. So can I give you some feedback about what I'm observing? So this is a numbers game. So you've got to know your numbers. So the numbers I'm seeing here are, I'm not seeing any appointments. I'm not seeing any face-to-face. I'm not seeing any transactions, but I'm seeing lots of activity.
Yes.
So can I give you some feedback? We think you're good enough to turn that activity into appointments, production. Can we help you with that going forward? No, I'm fine, Rick. I'm really good on my own. Great. Then now we need to free up your future, because this is not for you. But if they if they get it, they go, oh, I thought I was doing better. No, it's okay. We didn't hire you because we thought you'd do well. We're hiring you because we know you'll do well. You're probably on the wrong map.
You need to be coachable.
So we need to throw you into this map here and get you going. So the three-step process is, this is, tell me how you think it is.
Mm.
tell me how you think you can, how you think it can go, and then let me see if I can help you do it. But it works really well when you say, how do you think you're going? How do you think it could be? And let me now help you get there.
Get there.
Is the way to go. Where most coaches, leaders will go, let me just tell you what's going on. Your results are pretty ordinary. Wow. That's why it hit me right between the... So with kids, it works really well.
And then they're
really
going to
well
put a
kids.
Barrier up straight away.
Yeah, so with kids, you go, mate, what happened there when you missed that shot? I mean, my God. So the kid says, no matter what I do for mum or dad, it's not good enough for them. Yeah. So they just learn to just go, wow. Or worse, hey, well done, champ, you did awesome. The kid goes, no, I actually didn't do that well at all. So I'll learn to take everything mum and dad says with a grain of salt now. So when they say, oh, I'm doing really, really well at school, I'm not. So, you know, this is dangerous because at some stage they're like, well, you've got life going well. No, I don't. I'm behind on my credit card. I'm behind. Yeah. So we need to help them tune to the reality channel. Three-step process works really, really well. How do you think you're going? Tune into their understanding first. Help them shift it if you need to in the positive upslant, and leave them with their self-esteem intact and say, I believe you're good enough to do
this. That's invaluable.
And we can work together to help you do that. Yeah.
Correct. That is invaluable.
Yeah.
And the final one, because I love, and I memorized the pages, 109, 110, 111, and you'll probably remember this. Only the teammate who is rowing has time to rock the boat. Who isn't rowing? Sorry, only the teammate who isn't rowing has time to rock the boat. Yeah.
So
the
true,
tougher
isn't it?
Conversations.
Yeah, and so they are the ones. So what we tend to do is we go, first of all, it's really hard to have that conversation with the team member who is, you know, maybe being disengaged from the group, is probably doing harm from the group. It's hard to have that conversation if you don't have an agreed set of standards, behaviours, or what we would call values.
From the beginning.
So
and
if you
we're
don't
talking
have
about not only in sales, not only in prop management, we're talking about the whole organisation, whether in administration, front desk, accounts, the whole lot, the whole gamut.
And if we're talking about a professional sports group, like where I go to next, you know, it's not just about the players who play the game, it's the support people, as you say, it's the bootstarters, it's the volunteers, it's everybody's got to be on the same page. So the first thing you've got to have is some clear, defined standards, behaviours and values. And if you don't have those, it's really hard to keep anyone on track.
Going back to the rules.
So when you grab them, and I listen to the dialogue when I go into an organisation. So when it's like, when I hear what the company needs to do, what the company should be doing, what the company, when I hear the company, I start to really think this is a disengaged person.
It's an us against them mentality.
So when I hear what our company does really well is this, and what our company could do better is that, and I'm going to help our company get better. So it's not the company, it's our company. It's not the club, it's our club. So I hear that. And I hear disengagement. Yeah. So then the first thing I say is, when I heard you under stress, I get that, but when I heard you say, Evie, real estate guru, can you just hold? Just help me to understand, how is that meeting one of our values here in eView, which is that we care for people? Just show me how that, just help me to, sorry, Ricky, you don't understand, I'm straight. I get that now, but help me to understand how, because I've got to bring you back to this map, or better, when someone makes you feel extra special in reception.
Yeah.
Can I just bring you, by the way, I just saw how you handled that walk-in. Awesome job to you, well done. You're honouring one of our values, which is amazing. So if you don't have that ability, and I just find the biggest whiners, the biggest whingers, the biggest people who are, you know, probably, you know, damaging your brand from inside, you know, the internal white ant, as we would call them, I think they're the ones who are typically the ones who are less productive, typically. Mm. They're typically the ones that don't really want to be there. They've probably checked out months and years ago, they just haven't left the building yet. It's almost like...
So once they stand around the water cooler and complaining about it, it's that water cooler conversation.
And they'll talk about, no matter what, they'll smell the roses and say, where's the funeral, not where's the wedding? It's like, it's almost like they should just go to a funeral home and wait. Like, they're just... You got to find out who those people are and get it. But if energy is one of the things you've
brutal.
Value,
no,
well,
I love it.
Don't worry, I've had to have that conversation. And it's easy to have when they're not that productive. But when they're your number one writer, I had to have that discussion with my number one writer. It was, I go, so here's our values. It's not optional extras here. These are must-dos. Yeah. Not could, should, might. Yeah, these are must-dos. When he didn't want to do them, freed him up. Went into opposition to us. My team goes, oh, my God. I go, I give him 18 months or less. It was actually just on 11 months and he was out. So, you know, you've just got to have some standards and some values and keep people to them to a degree. Mm. So.
That's awesome.
Love it.
Excellent. Guys, thank you so much,
pleasure.
Rick. Invaluable content, guys. The power of connection. get it? Where can the viewers get it from, Rick?
So Sammy will put a link on to this, I'm sure. They can go to the website and I'll sign it. Otherwise, it's available in all good bookstores, probably in crap ones by now too. Who knows? But so my publisher is Wiley. So it's in Dimmix, it's in Borders. Borders, I don't know if that's a bookstore. Most bookstores. But if they come through insightpd.com.au, I'll sign it to them and get it to them. So it's pretty awesome easy. Stuff.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rick. Absolutely loved it.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you. See you next time.